from PRX.
Hey everybody, this is Scoots with a little update. We're running these Willy Wonka recap episodes in lieu of newer TV show recap episodes, and that's just in solidarity with the strike. It's a really old movie, and we have a whole season of one TV show recorded, TV recap cooking show recorded, but it's on a platform, and right now I want to show solidarity with the performers and the writers who are on strike. So I'm not going to put those episodes out until the strike ends. And we also have a couple Patreon, a movie that's on a platform exclusively. So this older movie will come out in two forms. And then after that, I have plans for some stuff. So don't worry, there'll be recap-esque episodes coming out. And, you know, there'll also be a link in our show notes where you could show your solidarity or, you know, take action to support the SAG and WGA and to show solidarity with other workers out there. So just a little FYI, episodes are still going to come out and we'll still have recap style episodes. It'll just be a little bit different for the time being. So yeah, that's a little update from Scoots.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who's here. I'm not a wonk, though. This is one of the many words I don't understand the definition. They say I'm a policy wonk, and I'd say I'm not even a candy wonk. I don't know what a wonk is. I wouldn't even know where to go to get some Wonka candy. Probably the grocery store. Another thing to get, you know, put on my, they could go to a candy store. But tonight we're talking about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the movie, the motion picture from 1971. This will be our second hour talking about it. Oh boy, you're in for a treat you could sleep to. Because I'm full of pointless meanders and superfluous tangents. Welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep because you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a friend in the deep, dark night. That's me, applying for the role to keep you company and take your mind off stuff so you can get that sleep you need. Your life is more manageable. I make this show because I love making it and because I've been there in the deep, dark night. So happy to be here. If you're new, the show is a bit different. It does take some getting used to. So just see how it goes. I'm just here to help, and to keep you company. What we got coming up is support, then a long meandering intro meant to ease you into bedtime. And then we'll talk about, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the motion picture. I don't know why I love saying that lately, but, just makes me laugh. I have no idea why. There was Star Trek, the motion picture, and there was something else, the motion picture. Those are the only ones I can think of. And it wasn't Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the motion picture, because that's more than a mouthful of chocolate. But some part of my brain literally just said, of celluloid. And I said, thanks. That part of my brain could be a wonk. It's not, it's wonking on my door. So anyway, see how it goes. I'll be here for over an hour to keep you company as you fall asleep. Welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do it for you for free twice a week.
All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? How much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're in kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast where we talk about the deep, dark night united. We're all in this together, and Sleep With Me depends on direct listener response. There's a lot of people who really depend on the ad-supported show because they can't afford to pay for the ad-free version, and this is where we generate that enthusiasm for the people that are doing that, making it possible. But this one, I'm answering a question I got from Liz and from Charlotte, which is like, hey, I pay for one of these premium music services. Doesn't that pay you? And it actually doesn't. That's a great question. Whatever the music service is, none of the music services or any of those things share revenue with podcasters. And it's just one of the realities of the business. I don't know if that'll change over the next few years or not. But yeah, great question. Yeah, we don't get paid by whatever platform you're using, whether the platform runs ads or you pay, like if you pay for a subscription on Apple Podcasts, you pay for our subscription on Patreon, that's different, but I'm just talking about generally this. Hey, I pay for this music platform. So I just want to answer that question. Great question from Liz and Charlotte. So if you want to hear your voice, your name on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, check out one of our sponsors, take a quiz, download that ZocDoc app, check out Air Doctor, check out Progressive, our new sponsor, Odoo, PolySleep, Helix, whatever it is. After you check them out, let the sponsor know about it. Let me know about it, especially if you support the sponsor, because then, I mean, obviously that's what they're looking for. But even knowing that people are interested in them and taking action is huge. So I appreciate everybody that does that. And you know what? I know now as a fact, there's so many people that appreciate it too, that are really, really thankful because they're getting ready to fall asleep here as we wind down the show. So thank you so much for taking action. And if you do that, you want to hear your name on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, I forgot. You fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, you getting the support you need right now. There's links to resources if you're having a tough time. You could connect with, including international resources. It's also about being a part of positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying Stop AAPI Hate, not just saying Support Ukraine, but taking action, learning more. There's a couple things we've been doing this year. Supporting the Trevor Project. We were supporting the Orlando Park Stop fundraiser. You can still use their link, orlandoparkstop.com/charity, to support the Trevor Project with one-time or monthly support. Or you can join us in building the hygiene kits for the Midnight Mission. Use the link in our show notes. And that's it. Mr. Bard, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson. Sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. And edits episodes too. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. By the way, most comfortable way to listen to Sleep With Me, Sleep With Me branded sleep phones. Just use our link, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleep phones, and use Sleep With Me at checkout. What do you say? We slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts on your mind, thoughts about the past, the present, the future, you know, things, thinking thoughts, thoughts with a GHT or thoughts like just no T. You could, thoughts, it could be feelings, anything coming up for you, feelings related to those thoughts or feelings that are left over, feelings that are just making their appearance now, late in the day, right in time for bedtime. Feelings. You might not think you need us right now. It may not. Is this a good time? Is this inconvenient? It's time to feel. Feelings that are coming up. It could be physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, routine. You know who I haven't given a shout out to is a third shift. Anybody working a third shift or even a second shift or a first shift, a fourth shift. How about a fourth shift in 4D? Like people working on 4D attractions on the fourth shift. And again, a lot of people say, Scoots, there's not fourth and fifth shifts. And I say there are. Within my mind, there's more than 24 shifts of thoughts, feelings. But whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I'm here to take your mind off of it and keep you company while you fall asleep, which is a bit different than most other sleep things. And this show is very different.
I make the show, as I said earlier, because you deserve a good night's sleep, right? You deserve a bedtime you could at least feel neutral about, or at least a bedtime you don't have to dread. And especially when I'm really going through it, I'll start dreading Sunday night on Friday afternoon, or definitely by Saturday. And you deserve a bedtime, ideally, after a while, whether this podcast is a part of it or not, that you could look forward to. And you say, well, at least I have these things that I know I like at bedtime. And that's what's been working for me. That's why I make the show. One, because I really do believe you deserve enough sleep so your life is more manageable and you could be out there flourishing and living your life. That's important to me. It means your world's better. That means the whole world we're in is a better place. That's one reason. And the other reason is because I've been there, like I said, and so have a lot of other people that are listening. And I might not have been through the exact same thing that you're going through, whatever's keeping you awake, but I can probably relate to how it feels. And if I can't, I could tell you there's somebody listening right now who can, who's nodding along and saying, yeah, that's tough. I'm really glad you're here. I hope this podcast can help you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, and superfluous tangents, which means I'm going to get mixed up, and then I'm going to go off topic, and then I'm going to double back, then I'll forget what I was talking about. Then I'll say, wait a second, then I'll talk about something else. Pointless meanders and superfluous tangents. Creaky dulcet tones means that my voice is not traditionally soothing. And yeah, it's meant to keep you coming. It's a podcast you don't really listen to. It's more like elevated background noise. If elevated noise was lower level, you'd say it's not elevated background noise, because that's the kind of thing angels would make, or, you know, pixies or other beings that are associated with bells, like jingle, you know, things associated with the jingling, or artistes. You're not elevated background noise. I say, thanks, brain. But I wouldn't say we're like sub-background noise. We're below background noise, but we're not, because that's probably a technical term. That's like a background noise you're not aware of. This is more of a talking that you don't need to listen to, that part of your brain has probably already figured out, oh, I don't really need to pay attention to this man. He's strange. He's well-intentioned. And he just goes on and on and on and never makes very much sense. He tries to, you know, he's somebody who's counting his change. He doesn't have a lot of spare change, but he's counting it. And he's saying, one penny. Oh, let me turn this penny over. Let me see if, is that a hay penny? No, is it one of those wheat pennies? Is that a thing, a wheat penny? Has anyone said, is that a thing if you're named Penny and people say, hey, Penny? And you'd say, what if someone says, is that another thing? Because there was that show with Penny on it that was really popular. Like, did anybody say a hello? Like, they said, hello, Penny. And she said, hey, Penny will do. Was that ever? I mean, that could have been a joke on the show once or twice, or maybe it was an ongoing routine. But yeah, so that's what happens. I start counting my change, and then I start to think, is there a knock knock joke in there? But this podcast is more full of undeveloped jokes. That's not elevated either. But it's a podcast you just kind of enter, you say, okay, I get it, man. You're trying to, So that's part of it. It's like a out-of-focus picture that you say, oh, that's probably something nice. I don't need to figure out what it is. It's also a podcast that doesn't put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep, not to put you to sleep. That's why the shows are over an hour. There's no pressure to fall asleep. I'm here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff, whether you're awake or asleep, because there's people who are listening, a small percentage of listeners, but I want those people to know they're not alone either. I'm here to the very end, whether you're awake or asleep. I'm here to be your friend in the deep, dark night. And you just fall. At some point, you say, I have no idea what he was talking. At first, I thought he was talking about hay pennies. But then I said, I think you're referring to the wheat penny. And then I realized he was talking about, like, he called it Third Rock from the Sun. But he realized that wasn't the show. That wasn't the right name of the show. Then he called that. Then he said, "Is that John Larroquette or John Lovitz?" And they then he said, "No, it's not." But now I can't think of the price. But he said, "Because I was just talking about that John, because he was in Footloose." And then he would like went back to trying to explain what his podcast was. So yeah, I don't know. But I slept great. I have no idea what the podcast. It was supposed to be about Willy Wonka. But I don't know if you ever talked about Willy Wonka. So that's kind of the gist of it is I'm here to be your boyfriend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bud, your boar bestie, your neighbor, your friend in the deep dark night, who's just here on call rambling, the rambler, the incoherent rambler. So let's see. So it's a podcast. Oh, most people don't like this show on the first few tries or it doesn't work for them. And that's from people that pay for the podcast that I hear from. They say, man, I didn't like the show the first few times I listened to it, or it didn't put me to sleep because I kept waiting for it to get started, or I kept waiting for the magic to happen. And it's kind of like if I was a magician and like if Sleep With Me was a magic show, it would just be me setting up my stage and, you know, stuffing, what are those things called? Kerchiefs. I almost called them herchiefs. Kerchiefs. You say, I could do that. I'd say, "Oh, these aren't kerchiefs because they're not mine. I borrowed from my mom. They're kerchiefs, and I'm just going to put these in my sleeve here. Don't worry, all part of the routine. I've got a rabbit here. Okay, check. I would have a checklist. I'd say it wouldn't. It would be if I had a checklist, it would be crumbled up and probably in a few different pieces. It'd be on scraps of paper. Okay, rabbit check." Rabbit feed, check. Carrots, check. Cedar rabbit flakes, check. A salt lick, this is a shopping list. And then I would go, you know, I'd have one of those, you know, the top hat, okay. Magic wand, check. Magic, question mark, okay. And that would be the whole, like you'd say, that's for, like, I thought you were going to do magic tricks. Oh, no, this is like it's just a metaphor within a sleep podcast. But yeah, I never get started. The magic never. That's what people said. They said, "Oh, I wondered when the show was going to get started." And then after three tries, I realized, oh, it's always going. No, Sleep With Me, always going nowhere. It's just also the other thing is if you get to the show and you're anything like me or most listeners, you're probably already frustrated. You're probably already skeptical. You probably tried a ton of different stuff to help you fall asleep. And you're, you know, probably aggravated because you said, man, I'm just trying to get some sleep here. Somebody told me about this show or I just searched for it and now you're talking in my ears. And so that's a normal way to get the show. You probably spent a lot of money on different sleep stuff. And so this is going to take some getting used to. Now, if the show never works for you, or you just are like, oh, you know, I don't think I like you. That's fine, too. That's a normal reaction. Like sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou has a ton of other sleepy stuff on there. You could check out other sleep podcasts and other stuff I've used to fall asleep. So those are a couple pieces of information that I try to tell people about just so you give a heads up. But also this show follows a structure that needs some explanation, too. So show starts out with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. That way you feel seen and welcomed in and you say, okay, I'll try this podcast out and see how it goes. Then there's support so the show could be free. And then after the support, what we're in now is called the intro and it's very long. Like it's not a concise intro and I just go on and on and on. It's usually somewhere between 12 and 20 minutes long. And I've done whatever, I don't, how many episodes have we done? Like 11, almost 1200 episodes. And, you know, I've never done the same intro twice. I probably talked about the same stuff multiple times, but the intro follows a similar structure every time, but it's different every time. One for regular listeners. So you have something new to listen to see what I go on a tangent about. Two, because I believe that the parts of me that keep me up, they can adjust pretty quickly. And that's what's not worked for me with other stuff in the past is like the idea of like descending a staircase or whatever, or different things. My brain or listening to crickets, they say, okay, well, this is the same cricket's going to be. Old Chirpy's coming on at 8 minutes. And so I just adapt in a non-positive way to most sleep stuff. So having the show be different every single time, it's important to me. And it's also important to me because, you know, I'm not here just dialing it in. I'm here to give you the best possible pointless meanders I can. But the other thing, and this is really frustrating if you're new, the reason the intro goes on and on and on is so you have some time to get ready for bed or to start to unwind. While there is a small percentage of people that skip the intro and a small percentage of people that we're so happy for that are already asleep, or for people whose partners are sound asleep, oh, we're so happy for you. But for most people, and this includes myself, it does take a little transition time, a easing into bedtime or a slow lowering of the volume on the day. That's just what's been shown to work, what I've seen work for me most of the time. So the intro kind of serves that purpose. You could do something, you could get ready for bed, you could be in bed getting comfortable, or you could be just doing some other chill wind down activity. But the idea is just to have a little bedtime routine and transition from being awake to asleep. So that's the other thing the intro does. And then there's support again between the intro and the story. And then tonight's story will be the second half, the majority of the movie, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Because I started talking about it in another episode, but then I just realized, I talked about it for 55 minutes, and I was like, okay, well, we just got to the very beginning when Willy Wonka came out. So we'll talk about it some more, and oh boy, will it be, the idea of me trying to remember a movie that I want to call the motion picture, it's very sleepy stuff. I'll even talk about an amusement park I went to so that's the structure of the show. And this is really why I make the show. I know how it feels. I really enjoy being able to be the person that talks to you and keeps you company. I think it's an important job. I try to balance being barely funny and silly and friendly, but also just being here for you. Because I know when I can't sleep, whether I'm alone or in a room with my family, I was in a house full of kids growing up, even then, it felt very lonely when I couldn't sleep. And that's just what works, I think, about this show for the people it works for, is I'm going to be here talking. And you could sleep through it and not pay attention to it, because there's no pressure to do that. But I'm going to be here for you. So I'm glad you're here. I really appreciate you coming by. I work really hard at Yearning Nice Drive, and I really hope I can help you fall asleep. But one more time, thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple ways I'm able to do it for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody, it's Scoots here, and this is part two of a two-part episode. So settle in as I'm going to be talking about the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the 1970s film. Because I started in typical Sleep With Me fashion. Though I don't know if it's ever happened with Tale of the Tape. I never got to the movie. I talked about it for about 55 minutes or something. And, I got to the movie. I just didn't get to the Willy Wonka. We got as far as the Chocolate Factory. No, actually, we got as far as outside of the Chocolate Factory. So when we last left off in part one, this is called a Tale of the Tape episode, where I try to remember the plot of a movie that was that I saw a lot at some point in my life and had a major impact on me. And so in the first episode, I kind of talked about how and when and why this film had an impact on me. And then I started to remember the movie. Now, this is the Gene Wilder version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And the parts I remembered so far was Charlie Buck. Well, I don't know if his name's Charlie Bucket or that's some Dickensian character. But there's Charlie, his grandfather, Charlie's mother, and Charlie's other grandparents. They all live together. Charlie's goes to school, sells newspapers. Charlie's mom works very hard. And it's also in the town they live in, there's a gigantic chocolate factory shrouded in mystery. At some point, I guess I don't think I talked about this. I don't remember why. I think, because there's so many secret methods of producing chocolate that Willy Wonka said to Willy Wonka's staff, like, I'm replacing you with beings from another world and that can keep secrets and that are going to, like, live here or something. And so the factory was sealed from the public forever, but the chocolate was still loved or beloved by children and adults. But then I guess, I don't know if it was ever established that Wonka was looking for an heir or someone to take over. Also, these are based on books that I never read and I know absolutely nothing about. And there was another movie, and we talked about it in part one. And, I don't think I'll remember. I mean, maybe if we have time, I'll talk about that movie and what I remember of it. But most of the time I watched that movie was before I got sober. So this is a movie I saw as a kid before I had discovered things that would make trouble in my life. I don't think I've ever seen John August's, I think that one is called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, where this one's called Willy Wonka. And maybe the only thing I remember is, what's it? Oh no, wasn't Christopher Plummer? Was it Christopher Plummer in that movie? Or is it Christopher Lee? I think it's Christopher Lee and not Christopher Plummer. In fact, now I can hear Christopher Lee's voice. So I'm pretty sure Christopher Lee's in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory as Charlie's father. But we're talking about Willy Wonka. So, What happened was, in the last one we covered, Willy Wonka has this contest, golden tickets. If you have a golden ticket, you as a child and an adult guest can come tour the factory. Slugworth, that's what I don't think I remembered that. There's also, I think I forgot to talk about that. There's also a mysterious character called Slugworth, who apparently is Willy Wonka's main rival, who's looking to pay children that go on the tour to get the Slugworth any sort of like industrial espionage, I guess. I mean, that's what it is. So there's a mysterious figure, Slugworth. And of course, Charlie and his family could use the money. Like, I don't know how much money Slugworth's offering, but enough to change lives. And so they go, and it's the day of the thing. And then everybody, it's a big deal worldwide. It's a big deal. And there's this group of kids that we'll catch back up with as they enter the house or the factory. Willy Wonka welcomes them. It's kind of spectacular. Though in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I remember it was much more spectacular. And, I remember there's some sort of clockwork animated, show. I might have to rewatch that. But then they go into the factory. They have to sign a waiver. And this is kind of where we left off. There's also, when they talking about a series of scenes versus a coherent movie, for my brain, this is more of a series of scenes than, because it's not really, well, I don't know. It is really just a series of scenes from there on out. But so movie starts, okay, movie started along like 40 minutes ago, probably 20 minutes ago. Okay, so they go in, there's this thing about signing the waiver, because it's very, again, like I think this is kind of done to be entertaining, but it's like there's a lot of stuff you can't read, et cetera, et cetera. And then a couple of the parents are like, I don't know about this. But the kids are like, dude, he's like, yeah, if you don't sign the waiver, you can't go in on the tour. And so they say, like most of the kids say, okay, we're going in. Then they go into like a room that keeps getting small, like a optical illusion hallway. One of those hallways where it's like one person standing on one side looks tall, one person does not. And the hallway seems like it's shrinking, and a lot of cool optical. I mean, that's just a cool effect. And then, this is probably, this is the most in a good way, as far as suspension of your disbelief, what type of situation would you want to be in, and a musical number. So I think there's been The Candyman and Charlie's Mother's Song. I don't know if there was any other songs. Maybe there's like, I don't know if, maybe Charlie's grandfather sang, like, getting up out of bed, dragged a comb across. Oh, no, that's it. But like, so I don't know how many songs there's been. But this is definitely one of the biggest numbers of the movie. I don't know anything about the history of the song, but it's definitely been covered a lot of times in a lot of different ways. But so basically they're in this hallway, everybody's bumping into each other. And then I think there's even like a little secret code or a key or something. And then this door opens and it opens into a factory like that's indoor outdoors. So it has a conservatory feel. It does feel like a conservatory, like a gigantic. So it's very like there's wrought iron. This is just what I remember, of course. There's brown brick. There's a lot of natural light, or seemingly, and the music starts, and it's like, come with me to a world of pure imagination is the song. And eventually, you start off seeing that, again, Willy Wonka, Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka, has a bit of an edge. He's someone that most people would say, I'm not sure about that guy. Like any, especially any kids would be like, yeah, I don't know about that guy. Like, he's intriguing to me. But yeah, I'm going to need, like, the kids wouldn't say no. They'd say, hey, I'm going to need you to hold your hand while we hang out this Willy Wonka. And he definitely seems to not like kids that don't follow his rules already, because he wants everybody to walk, but no one to walk in front of him. And I just remember that being like, I don't know, just seeing the strictest. And then he lets the kids go and they get released into this garden, and everything in the garden is edible candies that are also flowers. I mean, presumably an illusion somehow, but like there's giant melon, like everything's edible, edible teacup flowers. And it really is a wonderland, a world of pure, but it's not imagination. And it's the way the song is sung. I think it is one of the big moments in the movie of why it stayed with me. It's just sung in a very deliberate way that's enjoyable, but it has some other elements to it. I don't know if it has any foreboding elements. I would say that just Gene Wilder's manner as Willy Wonka's foreboding. But so basically, we get this long sequence of singing and activity and kids eating and frolicking and just eating tons of candy. Like, and the parents or the adult figures reverting for the most part. So they're reverting to a childlike attitude of eating candy and play. And then at some point, the first boy and his mom, they run afoul. And I don't know if there was a rule already expressed because I wasn't paying attention, but I think it was like, don't go anywhere near the river. There's a chocolate river. Maybe that's the centerpiece when they walk in. They say, oh yeah, it's a real river. It helps mix and aerate the chocolate. There's a chocolate waterfall, but it's chocolate to be used in candy, so you can't touch it. I mean, that's basically the gist of it. But it is a little watery. Like, so it looks like Yoo-hoo, to be honest. And as a kid, I was a big Yoo-hoo fan. I mean, I would only occasionally have Yoo-hoo, so I think that's why. But like Yoo-hoo is not an aspirational. There's another drink I associated with New York City. Even though the times I had Yoo-hoo was normally when we'd be in Pulaski, New York in the wintertime, and there would be like a kind of a food stand for fishermen, winter fishermen, and we would go to it, and I would get a Yoo-hoo there. For some reason, not a hot chocolate, but a Yoo-hoo. Or I guess it would be the fall, the autumn, which would still be cold. But so, okay, so this kid, Augustus Gloop, he goes and starts drinking. He loves chocolate. That's his character's thing. Augustus Gloop, chocolate lover. So he, in some sense, he may have been Willy Wonka's biggest fan. Yeah, because like the next person that appreciates candy would be Violet Beauregard. Because Mike TV and Veruca Salt, like they don't, I mean, I guess Charlie, but Charlie likes, I mean, he's a kid. But so this Augustus Gloop, he starts drinking out of the chocolate river. He decides to splish splash, take a bath in there. And basically, Willy Wonka says, "Hey, now you got to dry off. Like, we can't have you dripping chocolate everywhere around this place. Also, now you've gotten, you know, this is chocolate that was for, you know, consumption. So now we've got a, you know, real deal. Like, it's not good." And I don't know if there was ever a rule expressed, but if you break the rules, you get kicked out. But that's definitely the case. So, but he says, like, okay. And this is where, at some point, maybe even before this, we meet the Oompa Loompas, who are the people that work for at Charlie's Chocolate Factory. And I don't know when we learn their backstory, or not Charlie's, whatever, Wonka's, the Wonka candy works. I don't know what they call it. But so we sing these Oompa Loompas. Now they sing songs, which are very catchy, but they also, this is the most set. I mean, one of the things that's like, I mean, cause again, this was already dated when I saw it, but dated in a way that captures an era very clearly and profoundly. So the Oompa Loompas like have like usually like a, not an animated sequence, but kind of like a music video each time, and they sing the moral of the song, which is like that one. Don't, why would you drink out of a chocolate river? You're not supposed to. Why would you take a bath in there? Loompa de doo, I've got another lesson for you. What do you get when you do, you know, do stuff you're not supposed to? You'll get no. Oh, that's the Mike TV one stuck with me the most because I watch so much TV. Not that I related to Mike TV, never liked him. But so Augustus Gloop and his mom are basically asked to leave. But first they have to get dried off and take, you know, then they're like, we got to wash your clothes or give you something else. So Wonka's not happy about it. But the kids and everybody, they were just in the middle of this fantastic fantasy, I mean, real life fantasy sequence. And so they say, what, like, that's like the, like a thing that, I don't know, it takes them out of it. Then they say, basically Wonka says, yeah, that's what happens. Like, you see Wonka's ice cold in some sense, like a very all or nothing, like he lacks empathy and compassion, I'd say, for the most part. And so then he says, okay, now we're going to go for this boat ride to this other section of the factory or something. I think this is what happens next. And again, setting an era, this boat ride is absolutely bonkers. And I know they redid it in the movie in a different way, the new movie. But I do have like something else associated with this. So again, this was like the 70s, I think, or maybe it was the late 60s when this movie came out. And it is, they go through a boat ride through a tunnel where it just starts to show all this art. You would, that, these movies on the tunnel wall that kind of create visions for the kids. And it's very, to say trippy would be, that's the way you'd describe it. But also in a way that, again, does have some M-E-A-N-A-C-E like to it, where you're like, what is going, like, this is not what I mean, this would be the first point other than overall Wonka's mannerisms. Because even the Augustus Gloop thing, you'd probably write off. You'd be like, well, they did break the rules, and sounds like Wonka's taking care of them, going to wash their clothes. And then, you're right, the kids shouldn't have been messing in the Chocolate River. He told us not to. Or common sense would say, if this is chocolate for consumption, that you shouldn't stick your hand in there. But this boat ride, any adult would be like, okay. But like, and I think it's actually Mike TV's mom, and she actually sometimes is the voice of reason that I'm remembering. And Charlie's dad's more the voice of caution, or Charlie's uncle or grandfather. But the mom, Mike TV's mom, she's the one that actually speaks out. I mean, the other people do, but she's more speaks out like, this is so whack. Like, and I don't know if this is one of these moments when she does that, but she says, I mean, basically she's like, this boat ride's nuts, man. This is just my memory. And the other thing I remember about the boat ride was at one point, so again, you would associate this, like this was before 420 was a thing. So I don't know what, I mean, I wasn't alive during the 60s and the 70s. I wasn't partying like this. I wasn't even doing that during the 80s. But it's like, I don't know what kind of partying people did where this would be the boat ride you'd go on. But I do know that at Sylvan Beach, when I was a child, they had an indoor scrambler ride. And the indoor scrambler ride, so scrambler is a fairly dull ride that you see at a lot of fairs and stuff like that. It's just you sit in this, and I went on it once last summer or two summers ago, and I said, oh yeah, I don't like scramblers now as a full-fledged adult. But this one at this Sylvan Beach, which was a small amusement park, they figured out, they put the scrambler indoors, and then they had projections like this, and then they would play strobe lights, and they would turn the lights out. So it was like a scrambler for people who were pre-scrambled, or kids that were just like, this is so, like as kids, I never understood it. And I didn't realize that it was marketed towards, you know, teens or whatever, or young adults. But I said, there's something about this strangeness, surreality, I guess. I don't know if it's any of it's surreal. I mean, the Oompa Loompa stuff might be surreal. But anyway, like that type of strange reality, like that the two things were very similar. I mean, it wasn't the same movie projections as Willy Wonka, but it was these kind of projections where he'd say, whoa, man. But then occasionally he'd say, whoa, man, I don't need to see an ant farm. Like, this is too close, man. I don't, you know, ant farm's not for me right now. Okay, so go on this boat ride. Everyone is like, what the heck? There's even a close-up because Wonka's, like, reading a poem while the boat's going on. That's like, so his mood, I forgot about this, his mood is like where you're like, what the heck? Like, he kind of goes into this strange poetry fugue state. And there's different projections on him or lighting. And it's definitely worth seeing. It's just off. Like, I mean, it's awesome for the film because it does give the film nuance in some sense. Because you say, like, I mean, I would have probably been like, can we get the heck out of here? Like, I don't like, what do we get, a lifetime of chocolate? Like. So just weird boat ride. Okay, they get off the boat ride, and then they start going into different, like, laboratories, like candy laboratories, I think. And I don't ever remember what order they're in. But some of them that I remember, and this may have been earlier, is, like, lickable wallpaper. So there's, like, wallpaper that tastes like different things, like it's kind of like scratch and sniff. And so everybody's like, holy cow, like this, you know, tastes like banana. Oh yeah, this tastes like mostly positive things. But there's like, I think there's like, yeah, biscuits and, you know, whatever, beans and toast. So they go there. Then they go to like this machine that's a lot of like not steampunky, but like almost steampunky. Like, so it's a super like trippy machine, you know, makes like steam and weird noises. And that's producing everlasting gobstoppers, which was like, I guess, like, what were they called? Like, it's candy you put in your mouth that lasts forever. And everybody's like, this is madness, man. Like, why would you want to do a candy that will last forever? And Wonka, you know, says, because I can or something. I don't know. Says, because I wanted to find out if I could. But he gives each kid an everlasting gobstopper. Now, those were different. As a kid, when I was a kid, you could buy everlasting gobstoppers. Thing was, they didn't last forever, but they did as you sucked on them. They were like, oh, what do they call them? Like, they're like hard, like not hard candy. They have a term, not great for your jaws candies. Or there's an album, who sent, like, Olivia Rodrigo had Sour. But there's somebody else that had an album that was named after this. I don't know who, though. But so the gobstoppers, when I was a kid, they had a smiley face, but like each layer changed colors and flavor, and then you got to like a tart center. These ones, I don't remember if any kids consume them, but Charlie puts one in his pocket. Yeah, that was a gift. So that's like Wonka's like, this is your gift. One piece of candy that's going to last forever. Which again is important because basically Slugworth says, if you get me anything outside of that factory, especially experimental candy, you know, this is cutting edge stuff. I'll pay you a bunch of dough. Okay, so Charlie does that. Then I'm pretty sure the next thing is they go into a room. And this is another experimental room where they're working on new gum flavors. Now, we've already established that Violet Beauregard is a big gum enthusiast. Like, she has trying to get the world record for gum, like, chewing one piece of gum. So this room is like the gum experiment, gum labs or something. And apparently they're working on a new gum that's like a 7-course meal or something. But again, Wonka says, no touching without my permission or something. I don't know. Don't touch any of this stuff unless I give it to you. But she hears about this gum and basically is like, I'm going to try it. And he says, don't try it. And she says, I got to try it. He says, it's experimental. And then at some point you see again, and I like this one where he's like, please don't, please stop. Like, he's like, I've already warned you, so I'm not going to try to stop you. So she takes this thing. I think it comes out of like another machine that's like shooting steam and stuff like that. Oh, because they're putting all the ingredients in there. But he says it's not complete, hasn't been, you know, fully worked out all the kinks. And so she turns into a blueberry because blueberry pie is what's for desserts. But first she goes through all that, like it goes fine until dessert. Like she's like, oh, this is delicious, you know, roast duck or whatever. You know, oh, this is nothing more than kids love than a plate of oversteamed vegetables. But then she gets a blueberry pie. She turns into a blueberry. And then the Oompa Loompas come and they sing their song, like about chewing too much gum or whatever. And how there's a moral, like whatever it is. If it said, don't take the gum, don't take the gum. So they take her and her father because they go, we got to take her down to the drain. You know, we got to figure out the juicing room. We got to juice her because she's a blueberry and then she'll be back to a normal kid again. And her father's very comedic, like his style of character is like a very put upon, overwhelmed, semi-neurotic guy. So he was entertaining to watch having to deal with that situation. Okay, so I think that's who her father was. Okay, so she's gone. Then I think at some point in here, in this sequence, there's this other room with fizzy lifting drink, which I guess is another thing Wonka's working on that can make you float. And maybe everybody gets to try it, but maybe not. But Charlie's grandfather I think it's the one who does it, not Charlie. He says, yo, let's take a swig of this stuff. And it's like the carbonation makes you burp. And every time you burp, you maybe you hiccup. I don't know. Like you float. And I don't know. Maybe burps bring you up and hiccups bring you down, or hiccups bring you up and burps bring you down. But they drink the stuff and they start floating to the top of this room that's kind of like a jet engine testing facility or something, where there's this giant fan at the top. And they're like, oh, no, you know, we're going to go out the top. You know, it's not going to work out great for us. But then they figure out the burping. They figure out the technique of using it. And then they come back down. It's somehow they rejoin the tour without it getting noticed. And I think that's that whole sequence, right? I can't remember anything else. So that's like the fizzy lifting drink sequence. Then I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything. But I don't think so. Okay, then they go into a room that's full of geese. And I think they're making like some sort of magical Easter eggs or golden eggs or golden chocolate eggs. And the geese are really cute. And this is where Violet or Veruca, so Veruca, she decides she wants her. Oh, wait, so everybody sings a song? Did Violet Beauregard sing a song? I don't know if they did, but Veruca sings a song, and it's really, really good. And I can't remember the song right off the top of my head. It's something about getting my way, basically. And because she says, I want my own, like, it's really good. Like, she takes the petals off a flower. It's just a really good performance and a good song. I just, unfortunately, I can't remember anything about it. I mean, I remember more of the performance. So she says, I want it now. That's what it is. I want it now. She goes, she basically is like, I want one of these geese. And they're like, Wonka's like, the geese aren't for sale. They're like special geese to lay chocolate, golden chocolate eggs. And it's not like I could just come up with new ones. Also, it's part of my business. Now, Veruca's part of the serious. She's not royalty. There's no royals in this. But she's like seriously rich. Her dad's like some sort of industrialist. So he says, just say the word, Wonka. However much, you know, I'll just pay you. And he goes, the geese aren't for sale. And so she basically sings a song about how she gets what she wants. She gets what she wants. But she's going to be the one that's gone. And then she goes down the egg, like where the geese lay the eggs. There's like a chute to deliver the eggs to the proper place. Oh, no, there's a place that tests the eggs to make sure they're right. So she gets tested and it says, like there's a thing, that like a scale that weighs the eggs. And says, oh, this is a correct, you know, to sort the eggs by grams or something, whatever, sort of, some sort of metric stuff. And so she goes down the chute. So their dad's like, where is she? Oh, also, when Wonka wants the Oompa Loompas and they don't appear just to sing, he uses kind of like a pitch pipe, which I thought was a cool flourish. But so he calls Yeah, the dad's like, where is he? And then uses his pitch pipe, and then Oompa Loompa comes. He says, where does she go? Goes, oh, trash facility. The dad says, trash facility? And I think the dad ends up jumping in there himself after he's like, where is she? So then Wonka goes, go get them. And then at this point, too, Grandpa, what's his name? His name's not Grandpa Ed. That was my grandpa, but not Grandpa Charlie. I can't remember the grandpa's name. Grandpa Joe. He says, yo, what are you doing, man? Like, these are little kids. Like, and Wonka's like, you know what? Mind your P's and Q's. Okay, then there's like a sequence, like, and I'm pretty sure everybody's involved that's left, which is just Mike TV's mom, Charlie, and Grandpa, not Grandpa Ed, but Grandpa Joe and Willy Wonka. But they get it. Then they go on this wild machine, like a foam producing. I have no idea what the purpose of the machine was either. And they go like, it's very trippy. It's this giant foam, like, I guess I don't remember much about it. It seems super high tech, had a bunch of wheels and moving parts, and it produced tons and tons of copious foam, I guess presumably to clean something. And I just, I'm pretty sure, again, this is when Mike TV's mom, she has fun with this, but maybe not. But it does seem like a brief moment of joy where they're having fun. And I can't really remember anything else about it. Then there's a sequence with Mike TV where they go into this like serious tech lab where the Oompa Loompas are actively working on like a candy teleportation device. Now, for some reason, I think it's like a future device where it will teleport the candy into your television so you could purchase it and then take the candy out of the TV, because that's what Willy Wonka does, and it's a cool effect, but that the sizing's off, and that in order to do that, you need like a giant candy bar, because when you transfer it to a regular TV, and these are the old cathode ray tube TVs, like when you do that, then the thing shrinks. But Mike TV's obsessed with TV, so he demands to go on TV and be transferred, like teleported. Even though they went through the basics of it, they're like, yeah, it's not meant to do that, and it's not meant to, it's meant to move candy. He says, this is it. You know, I'm Mike TV. I'm meant to be a star or whatever. And Willy Wonka's basically like, whatever, man. Like, I'm not going to argue with you. And I'm not sure exactly what I had against Mike TV. Maybe he reminded me of somebody, but I definitely like, he's dressed like a cowboy. He's like the most American, like, not like, he's just like this TV watching. Maybe it was just related too much because I watch so much TV. But so he gets teleported because they're using some sort of TV technology to teleport people or candy. But he, again, just like the candy bar, he goes from a large size to a small size. So then he becomes like an action figure sized kid. And again, this is really stretching the effects. And I haven't watched the movie in a while, but I'd have to wonder what the, you know, how those effects work. But his mom's like, so then he goes to, we'll bring him to the taffy stretching room and we'll stretch him. And that's the one with the Oompa Loompas, the song, like, what do you get when you watch too much TV, a mind full of something and an IQ of 3. And then they sing, you'll get no commercials. Those are the lyrics that stuck with me the longest. But yeah, so, what do you call it? So, like the Oompa Loompas thing about that, then Mike's gone. And then, I mean, this is, what a way to set up the ending of a film, at least in my opinion, that rings true. And I mean, I don't think this movie's, like, I don't know what critical regard for this film is or the watchability of it, because I haven't really watched it in a long time. And I mean, it's mostly steeped in nostalgia. But basically, then the tour's over. And again, we see the side of Wonka, and he's ice cold. Like, basically he says, okay, well, nice giving you the tour, and, that's it. And, hope you had fun and we'll see you later. And they're like, wait, like he literally just ends the tour. Like, I mean, this is something I would do almost like if I, but again, it pays off. And he gives this speech where he even reads off the thing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They say, what's the problem? Like, Uncle, is he Uncle Bob? No, that's not his name. Grandpa Joe says, what in the, you just like brought us through this strange experience. And now you're like kicking us out of here, and you're not even going to, like, he literally just sits down in his office. Also, we see that everything in the office, I think, is cut in half. So it's just bizarre. Like, there is, like, this surreality to it there. And he says, well, did you or did you not, like, take the fizzy lifting drink and touch the walls? And, you know, that has to be cleaned and all that, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this is a famous repeated line. He goes, good day, sir. And then he says, what? Like, Grandpa Joe's outraged. He's like, you're an awful man, basically. And he says, I said, good day, sir. I said, this is just how I remember it. But he also knows, like, he's still testing Charlie, which is what gets paid off, because Charlie's, like, he's looking for someone, I guess, that's both assertive and good-hearted. I mean, again, if someone was to test me in this way, I'd say, yeah, I don't want it. I guess I get tested this way a lot with the podcast, but it's more on a message-to-message thing. But so Grandpa Joe speaks the like how most people would be feeling, and then Charlie goes to leave, and he goes, he realizes he still has the gobstopper, which he could sell to Slugworth. And he's also ultimately rejecting everything that Willy Wonka kind of stands for, I would think. And he gives the like gobstopper back. And he says, basically, dude, thanks for the tour. Like, but yeah, I'm not going to sell this to Slugworth, but also like this, your candy, you know, your candy and your attitude leave a bad taste in my mouth. And then, I mean, and again, well, I do think it's Gene Wilder. Like, he's able to change his, like, manner. Like, he just changes so quickly from, like, this person you would say, I mean, literally be like, I think Uncle Joe, Grandpa Joe said it, like, almost like, you know, your behavior repulses me, Willy Wonka, to, like, this soft-hearted thing where he's like, and he does it with his eyes, I think, and his smile. But he says, oh, Charlie, like, I knew you were the one. And then he's so soft and kind. And he's like, basically, like, I've been looking for someone to take over for me, but someone that's going to take care of the Oompa Loompas. Because basically, they used to live in some place where people, like, there was, like some sort of, like, thing with the wildlife there. And the wildlife and the Oompa Loompas didn't get along, so they had to move here. And whoever takes over for me has got to work, you know, take care of the Oompa Loompas, take care of the candy. I don't know. I mean, maybe there could have been a little bit more in the sense of, like, and maybe this is what they did in the other movie where it's like, dude, what is your problem? Like, because me just taking over the factory is not going to change whatever's going on with you. Because, you know, Wonka, you need to sit, you know, you need to get somebody, you know, things need to, you're like, you can't be happy for you or anyone associated with you when you can have these extreme changes in your behavior. But that doesn't happen. But Charlie basically, he says, you're it, Charlie. And then they go in this magical elevator, which doesn't have a lot to do with anything, but I guess it's part of the books or something. And they just get in this magical elevator. I don't, like, I have no, I guess maybe there's some sort of plot point. I have no idea. And it shoots out of the top of the factory, blows the top of the factory off. Like, and again, this is like this beautiful, I mean, created and I'm sure with painting and stuff, like factory, like that has tons of wrought iron and glass. And they shoot out the top, and then they're in some sort of space age flying device, like a flying elevator. I don't know if that's one of the books, Charlie and the Flying Elevator. I think it is. And they're flying over like wherever they live, which isn't London. But, and I mean, the good thing is he's like, you'll take a salary and I don't know if they're going to live there. I mean, Grandpa Joe's probably like, dude, like I'm here. I'm on Charlie and you like glue now because, so that's basic. Those are the basics of what I remember. But we do have a few minutes, so let's check the songs and let's see what I got right, what I got wrong here. First of all, is it Willy Wonka or Willy That's not how you spell it. Okay, 1971. I know I checked some of this before, but it's a 1971 film. So, yeah, 60s, 70s. I know I read some of this stuff, but let's go through the songs and the plot. Okay, it was based on Roald Dahl's 64 book, and it's been played by, oh, Timothy Chalamet. There's going to be another one? Holy cow, that'll be interesting. Okay, oh, interesting. I wonder who's directing that. But yeah, he's portrayed in films multiple times. Let's go straight to this movie. 71 American musical fantasy film. Mel Stewart. Charlie Bucket. Okay. Peter Ostrom. Found a golden ticket. Gets to visit the thing. And let's see. Wolper Pictures and Quaker Oats Company were the production companies. 100 minutes, budget of $3 million, did $4 million at the box office. Filmed in Munich. Okay, so, yeah. Oh, wait, we did some of this, the Candyman. Okay, yeah, Charlie Bucket, this is all from Wikipedia. Poor paperboy looks inside a candy shop, can't afford the sweets. Then he sees the factory, and a tinker tells him nobody goes in and out. Oh, Grandpa Joe tells him that the Wonka had shut down the factory because the rival candy places were getting his recipes, and it's still locked. Then Wonka announces he has 5 golden tickets hidden in candy bars, and they'll get a factory tour and a lifetime supply of chocolate. And Augustus Gloop, Veruca Salt, Vira Beauregard, and Mike TV. And then, yeah, you see another man whispering to the kids on TV as they win. Then, like, there's a fake of somebody that won. But then Charlie gets a bar from Grandpa Joe, doesn't have it. Then he finds a quarter or whatever and does find it, like, buys a candy bar, gets it. That's Slugworth, who goes up to him, offers him a cash reward. Oh, for the everlasting gobstopper. Then he goes home, picks Grandpa Joe, who excitedly jumps out of bed for the first time in 20 years. Then Wonka greets the ticket winners. So this is all the first episode we did. Chocolate room, a whimsical indoor park with a river of chocolate and other sweets. And that's where we see the Oompa Loompas. Then each child has a flaw, which causes them to give in to temptation. Augustus touches the water. Violet takes the gum. Veruca demands a goose. Mike goes on the TV thing. The Oompa Loompas sing a song of morality after each child. Charlie and Joe do the fizzy lifting drink. Burping allows them to go down. The drink makes him float up. Okay, at the end of the tour, he says, don't worry. They say, what about the other kids? He says, they're fine. And then he retreats to his office without awarding them the lifetime supply of chocolate. When they ask him about it, he informs them they broke the contract after stealing fizzy lifting drinks, forfeiting the prize. Charlie returns the everlasting gobstopper instead of selling it to Slugworth. And they call Charlie the winner. The offer to buy the gobstopper was a morality test for the winners. Only Charlie passed. Then they get in the Wonkavator, a multi-directional glass elevator, and fly out of the factory. And reception. Film received generally positive reviews. Ebert said 4 out of 4 stars. Best film of a sort since Wizard of Oz, according to Ebert. Delightfully funny and has a bit of S-C-A-R-Y, work of imagination. Let's see if we can find the soundtrack. Music. Okay, what do we got here? The original score was by Leslie Barracusa and Anthony Newley. Candyman, originally recorded by Sammy Davis Jr., or when it was recorded, re-recorded the song. No, Sammy Davis Jr. recorded the song, became a number one hit. Let's see, the 21st. So you got Pure Golden Ticket. Oh, I Got a Golden Ticket. That was another song. Then The Candyman, Charlie's Paper Run, Cheer Up Charlie, Lucky Charlie, I've Got a Golden Ticket, Pure Imagination, Oompa Loompa, Wondrous Boat Ride, Everlasting Gobstoppers, Oompa Loompa, The Bubble Machine, I Want It Now, Wonka Mobile, Wonka Vision, Oompa Loompa, and then Wonka Vader. Let's see, what other thing? It's been referenced in many different TV shows and animated shows. And there's been a lot of covers of the song. And even there's a meme, Condescending Wonka. Oh, yeah, that's a famous one where he's looking at you. I forgot about that one. Tell me again about dipping your elbows in milk. I don't know what he would say, though. I'm not good at writing memes. But it's one where his shoulders, his elbows on something, he's staring with that very Gene Wilder smile that says way more than, oh, I'm so happy to see you. It says, I'm not listening. Casting. Trying to think of if there's any notes in casting. Not really. Okay, there's Breaker Confections, a subsidiary of Quaker Oats, wanted to introduce, you know, they were like, oh, wait a second, we could do this. And they renamed it Willy Wonka Candy Company. It was sold to Nestle's at some point. And they bought the rights to the book and financed the picture for promoting the Wonka Bar. Wow. Interesting stuff. Wolper decided with Stewart that the film would be a musical. Approached Richard Rodgers and Henry Mancini, who declined. Let's see, Gene Wonka wanted specific changes to Wonka's costume, including trousers and the color and cut of the jacket, placement of the pockets. Wilder's attention to detail also requested the hat is terrific, but 2 inches shorter would make it better. They tried Fred Astaire, Joel Grey, Ron Moody, John Pertwee, Spike Mulligan, Peter Sellers even begged for the role. All six members of Monty Python expressed interest in playing Wonka, but they were deemed not big enough names for an international audience. Joel Grey was in the lead. And other people auditioned in New York. And by the end of the week, Wilder walked in. It was then that Stewart and producer David L. Wolper realized they could stop looking. The role fit him tighter than one of Jacques Cousteau's wetsuits. They were captivated by Wilder's humor. His inflection was perfect, sardonic edge, and they were looking for. And then they tried to hide their eagerness to help in their negotiations. When Wilder was cast as Wonka, he accepted the role. When I first made a first interest, I decided to come out the door carrying a cane and walk towards the crowd with a wimp. As the crowd sees this, they all get quiet. And then I roll. So he wanted to do that thing and have the applause. And they said, why? And he said, And he goes, Wilder answered, from that time on, no one will know if I'm lying or telling the truth. Wilder said he was adamant and he would decline the role otherwise. Gene Stapleton turned down the role of Miss TV. Jim Backus was considered the role of Sam Beauregard. Sammy Davis Jr. wanted to be the candy store owner, but he was too big of a star. Let's see, Anthony Newley also wanted, but he was also too big a star at the time, I guess. And, hundreds of children auditioned. Filming began in, August of 70 and ended in November of 70. They found a Guinness brewery in Ireland, a chocolate factory in Spain, and a massive chocolate room at Bavaria Studios, but then also shooting locations in Munich, Bavaria, external shots in Munich. So there's a lot more about it, but yes, yeah, interesting movie. And I guess even more interesting that it took me 2 hours to try to remember it. But yeah, good night. Thanks, and good night, everybody. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. I want to thank Joe, Owen, and Megan. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Julia, Victoria, and Melanie. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Aaliyah, Susan, and Natalie. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Sheila, Ray, and Beth. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Hawa, Stephanie, and Jason. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Jeannie, Bellamy, and XP. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Mary, Kate, and Lise. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Marley, AP, and LL. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Cindy, Tamar, and Matt. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Catherine, Jeremy, and Megan. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. And Toby, Terry, and Chad. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Thanks to everybody who supports the show on Patreon. Podcast exists because of people who support the show directly or support our sponsors. But we grow this podcast by people just spreading the word, which we also couldn't, I mean, wouldn't exist without that. So thanks to everybody who spreads the word about the show. I really appreciate it. And thanks, and good night, everybody.
All right, everybody. It is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, and the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody.